So it is very refreshing to be here with you all.
Amen.
And especially to talk together concerning the divine history.
Amen.
Are you wondering what that is? Actually, you know what it is, but it's just a different name that we're using. But we look to the Lord this weekend that we would see it in a fresh way.
Amen.
And that we would see it, that it involves us. The divine history involves us.
Amen.
Do you realize that? A divine history is being carried out as we speak. And you have a share. And this is vital and can be a part of your living every moment.
Amen.
And the more it's a part of your living, the sooner it will reach its consummation.
Amen.
I hope we see something this weekend. I hope we see to the extent that we would be. We want to see to the extent that we would be.
Amen.
Be in it. For this, we need our spirit.
Amen.
That is the only way you're going to see anything.
Amen.
You need to be in your spirit.
Amen.
Our spirit is a seeing organ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We need a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
An unveiling this weekend. That we could see the divine history.
Amen.
This is what is really going on. Bin Laden is not what's really going on. Or Saddam. Or whoever is next. I mean, tomorrow it could be somebody else. That's not what it's all about. This is what it is all about.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I hope our concept concerning God is changed.
Amen.
I hope our concept concerning God's purpose is changed.
Amen.
And God's plan and our involvement.
Amen.
And world history. I hope all of our concept would really be changed.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
Now I'm waking up. And I'm also getting roasted. This is the first time I've ever been in front of a fire.
Burning.
That's it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The brothers don't know that these last few days it's been in the 90s in Orange County, so I was just so happy to come to cool Puget Sound. But anyway, for this divine history, to help us to have a little handle on these five speaking sessions that we will have, I've selected three P's for each session. Three P's. And by the way, my name is Paul, so there's another one. The first trio is pleasure, purpose, and plan. And then the next one is going to be, you tell me.
Preparation.
Picture with a problem. That's not a good P, but anyway, it'll give you a handle. Then the next one is prototype. Process with a promise. Hallelujah. And then the fourth one is propagation. You have to realize that the prototype wants to be reproduced. He wants a propagation.
Amen.
We'll see that tomorrow. And with the propagation, there is what?
Procedure.
There's a procedure. And then there is
practicality.
This is where the divine history becomes so good.
Amen.
There is a practicality. And then the last session that we will have on the Lord's Day morning, the Lord willing, we will continue with practicality, but then we will end with a precious personal product.
Amen.
And we'll say a little bit on that. And if you want to know more about that, there's a place you can find out. And you'll see me there. I might say more about that later. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, let's get right to it. It's late, but we have a burden tonight.
Amen.
And so we need to be exercised, though it's late, though we're somewhat tired. We will never have this opportunity again. Tonight is unique. This is our opportunity to look at pleasure, purpose, and plan in this environment from this vantage point. First of all, God's purpose, God's pleasure, and God's purpose. This, of course, does relate to God. God has a pleasure, and God has a purpose. And the background to the divine history actually begins before time began. That is, in eternity past. You have to realize something about God. God was alone. Have you ever thought about that? You know, our concept about God is that He doesn't need anything. And he's just must be so happy and so content. And we don't think about God in that sense. We just think about ourselves in every sense. But God in eternity past, you have to realize this is the three-one God. Three-one God. God, you have to realize, was alone. Now, God is perfect. To say that he's not is to blaspheme. And I don't want to blaspheme. None of us do. God is perfect. Yet, we have to be impressed that God, who is perfect, has a need. He is alone. And he has a need. And there's a human parallel to this. And that is men and women. If you're a man, you're a perfect man. I can see Tim here. In a sense, you are perfect. And you can survive, right? But to be really complete as a man, you need a wife, brothers. Now, that's not what this retreat is about. That's probably going to be the last time I'm going to mention this. But that is a human parallel to God's case.
Yes.
As a man can survive alone, but is completed by a woman, so God could go ahead and survive alone, but is not happy to do so. He would like to be completed by a counterpart. He needs a complement, not a compliment, but a complement. He needs to be completed. And the complement that God desires, and I would say requires, is a complement constituted of his very creatures. That is what he wants. Yet there is some specification to that complement. That complement that God seeks, that group, a group. You know, it's so good tonight, we're here as a group. I'd hate it if I was here alone, roasting in this room, with nobody else here to roast with me. It's so good that, you know, we're here as a group. God wants a group. A group of people. We sang that. God would have a group of people. And don't think he's just, you know, that this way about that. No, he wants a group of people. God is not this old man, the concept, in a chaise lounge in heaven, just languishing there, you know, just with a philosophy of laissez-faire. You know, just let it happen, you know, whatever, you know. I set it in motion, just whatever, you know. What's going on down there? World War I, ooh, not too good. World War II, ooh, not too good. You know, Vietnam, ooh, getting worse. Ooh, the Gulf War, ooh, terrorism, ooh, terrible, terrible, oh. You know, some people have that kind of a concept of God. No feeling, old man. Detached, no desire for involvement. I tell you, that is a lie. And I'd like to slam this thing here, but I'm afraid I'd break it. That I hate that concept. The Lord in me hates that. God does not want to be alone. He wants a group of people. But this group, as I began to say, is according to a specification. And that specification is Christ.
Amen.
The specification for the group of people is Christ. In the New Testament, Christ, that is the Son, God embodied. He is called the Beloved. He's called the Beloved. You have to realize that God's choice is Christ. What God, his delight is in Christ. His joy, his satisfaction is in Christ. And whenever, especially we could see in the New Testament, a rival or a distraction to Christ came up, even if it was a good one, like Moses or like Elijah, God would not tolerate competition to Christ. His beloved, his pattern, his delight, his favorite one is Christ.
Amen.
His beloved Son, he said, in whom I am well pleased, in whom is all my delight. So this group of people that God wants, listen to this. This group of people must be Christ.
Wow.
Now let me ask you something tonight. And I'll keep asking throughout this whole weekend. Who are you? See, no response. That's fine. That's okay. I would have liked at least one. Let me ask again, Warren. And Tim, who are you?
Christ.
Amen.
One said Christ, and the other said amen. Not bad. But let me ask the two of them again. Who are you?
Christ.
I'm going to ask a third and final time. Who are you?
Christ.
Very good. Now I'd like to ask all of you, who are you?
Christ.
You see? Let me ask you. Who got into you?
Christ.
Who do you eat?
Christ.
Who do you drink?
Christ.
Who do you breathe?
Christ.
Who's constituting himself into you?
Christ.
Whose life do you have?
Christ.
Whose nature do you have?
Christ.
Who are you starting to look like?
Christ.
Who are you?
Christ.
Thank you. This is what God wants. God wants a reproduction of Christ.
Amen.
He wants a group of people that are in fact Christ.
Amen.
There is a term in the New Testament. In the English, it's not so clear, but in the Greek, it is clear. In the English, it's translated sometimes simply Christ, but in the Greek, it is the Christ. The Christ. What is the Christ? The Christ is Christ and... That's right. It is the corporate Christ. And this is what God wants. Oh, God wants... Oh, he just loves Christ. Oh, he's the beloved one. He's the beloved one. And God is driven by this desire. What he wants is the corporate Christ.
Amen.
He wants the corporate Christ.
Amen.
He wants a group of people who together with the head are the body.
Amen.
He wants people that are coming into the door. God wants the corporate Christ.
Amen.
Who are you that just came in the door? Stay with us. Praise the Lord! God wants a corporate Christ. I better hurry up. It's 9 o'clock. How long are we going to go? I haven't even done one point. This is how it is with me. Some people know. His delight is in Christ. This is point 2. And he wants a group of people that are constituted as the reproduction, the duplication, the Xerox copy of Christ.
Amen.
This drives God.
Amen.
Don't think he's that old man up there, you know, oh God, with the long beard, you know. No, I like to picture God as what is in Revelation chapter 1. Eyes burning, wild hair. You know, there's a picture there. And years ago when I first read that, there were some crazy brothers that said, that's the wild Christ. Well, I don't know about the wild Christ, but that's a wild picture there.
Yeah.
Eyes, hair, this is God. I mean it. It's not this half dead, you know, disinterested, distant, disinterested. All the disses, dis. That's not God. I mean, God is so driven.
Amen.
That one day he became a man.
Amen.
One day he became embodied. He took a lower place. Do you like your body? I don't like my back right now. I mean, sometimes it's okay, but a lot of times it's not. But think about it. God put on a human body. Is this someone disinterested? Is this somebody that likes to be distant? A long distance God. I tell you, religion today has that concept. Holy, you know, this kind of long distance, long distance, long distance. Right? Is this God?
No.
God, listen, God became a man.
Amen.
And God lived a human life.
Amen.
And God went to the cross.
Amen.
He was crucified,
Amen.
Taking care of all of your problems.
Right,
do you have any problems?
Yes.
Wrong answer. You forgot about the Spirit.
Amen.
Do you have any problems?
No!
Hallelujah! He took care of all of your problems. You just think you have problems. Not only so, that's on the negative side. On the positive side, what did that death do? That death released his divine life.
Amen.
So not only did God, he really wants this group of people. He wants it so bad that he today is the Spirit.
Amen.
To get right inside of you.
Amen.
Is that long distance?
No.
Is that detached?
No.
That is personal.
Amen.
That is driven.
Amen.
God is driven.
Amen.
He got inside of you to make you Christ.
Amen.
Corporately. Oh, this is God. I hope you know, if you don't remember anything else from this weekend, that your concept of God was blown.
Amen.
Blown away. God is driven. He has a purpose. To produce an organism, not just a group, this group, God's thought, God's pleasure, God's purpose is that this group would be a one organism. That means they are organically related. They are fit together, just like a body. You know, if my body was here, you know, my fingers were over there, my head was over there, my legs were over there, you would be out the door. Actually, you'd throw them into the fire. What is this? Get me out of here. No, God doesn't just want a group. Not just a group. An organism. That is what God, you know, this is what God, you know, one day he was there. He had this thought. A group. Corporate Christ. Corporate Christ. But not just a group. Like we sang, blended, knit, coordinated.
Amen.
Oh, just like a body. A body is, you know, a body is, you know, like mine is kind of wild, but it's coordinated.
Right.
Blended, knit, coordinated. This is what God wants. Organism, like an organism. An organism.
Amen.
Which is, we find out as we read through the Bible, the body of Christ for his enlargement, full, perfect, complete and eternal expression.
Amen.
How about that? A group, an organism, not only a group, but an organism involving fitting, involving building. You know, our body, it's like a building. It is constructed. God is considering. That's, you know, the thought, I like it, I like it, I like it, I like it, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it, and I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it.
Amen.
This is God.
Amen.
Not that old, Who's the president? Is Bush still in there? No. I have a thought. I have a desire. I have a will. I'm going to get it. And as we'll see in a moment, I've got a way to get it.
Amen.
I've got a plan.
Amen.
All right, brother? I love this.
Amen.
God's got a big heart.
Amen.
He's not small like us. He's got a big heart.
Amen.
You read the Bible. Many sons.
Yes.
Many sons.
Amen.
You know how many sons I have? One. I'm not very... Now, Mark... He came from a family, he told me, of nine. That's not bad. We get together, we'll have 10. God wants many sons.
Amen.
Many brothers.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We've got the verses here. We don't have time. But that's the good thing about your booklet. Your booklet is all inclusive. It's got everything in there, including the verses. Read them sometime. We don't have the time to read them all. But there's one that says that the Lord is the firstborn among many brothers. Many brothers. Many grains. Right? Many members to the body. You know, our physical body has many members, but I tell you, Christ's body has many, 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 many more. Many! This is God. He's got a big heart. Many sons for His household. Many brothers for Christ. Many members for His body. Oh, the group becomes an organic body.
Amen.
Oh, this is what God saw.
Wow. Wow.
A body for Christ.
Amen.
I want a body for my son. And then eventually, God, not just that, not just the group, not just the body, but eventually a spectacle of spectacles.
Right.
The grand finale. Right? Oh. I'll just say a little bit about it. If you want to know more, there's a place. You'll see me there. A city.
Amen.
A spectacle of spectacles to the universe. A city which is just Mr. and Mrs. Christ.
Amen.
God and man incorporated.
Amen.
The new Jerusalem.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Spectacular.
Amen.
I saw Seattle today, you know, coming across. And it was so good to see blue water and blue sky. Mark was pointing out all the buildings and the campus, and it was really good, you know, but I just couldn't get over the blue and green. Because, you know, I usually see brown where I'm from and orange. That's the smog. Seattle is a spectacle as a city, really is. But what God has in mind, oh, what God has in mind is a spectacle of spectacles.
Amen.
Oh, a marvel of the universe.
Amen.
Actually, when God gets to where He's going to get what He's after. Even the creation, it says, the trees are going to clap. You know, they're bored right now. If you could ask Mr. Evergreen, how do you feel about the situation? He said, I'm bored. Same old thing every year, every year, every year. You see these people coming here. Now, your group is different. But, you know, I see the same old birds flying, same old animals crawling, and, you know, I look over there and just see the same old stuff. I'm bored. I'm waiting. You see, eventually even the creation, they're waiting for this spectacle.
Amen.
This is the divine history.
Amen.
It will have such a consummation. Don't you want to bring it quicker?
Yes.
Me too. So let's go to the next point. This organism, not just a group, but a built-up organism, will have God's very life and very nature and even His appearance. Many metaphors are used in the Bible to describe this corporate entity. Sometimes it's referred to as the house, the building, God's building. It's an outward framework of humanity, but the inward dweller of that house is God.
Amen.
Another metaphor that we've already used is the body. A body of Christ. The outward framework is humanity. But the inward life and the inward nature is God Himself.
Amen.
Mingled with that humanity.
Amen.
This is what God saw. And not only that, His appearance. It looks like God. You know, I told you I have a son. And when my son was small, you know, a brother, a Christian brother from another city, he came up to me and he said, your son really looks like you. So I was getting ready to, you know, say, thank you. He said, your son really looks like you. He said, he looks like you from the back. Never heard of anything like that in my whole life. I mean, I was ready to shake his hand, and after he said that, I was ready to, you know, he looks like you from the back. What is this? To this day, I don't know what he's talking about. But anyway, God wants something that looks like Him from the back, from the front, from the top, from the bottom. It has His appearance.
Amen.
Because God is the life and the nature within this framework.
Amen.
This framework will bear His very image, His very appearance.
Amen.
Every father is proud and happy to be expressed by his children. God has many sons. Consider how happy, how proud, in a good sense, God will be when He shows off to the universe this corporate entity, not only with His life and His nature inwardly, but even with His expression, His appearance. People will look like that. Oh, is that God or is that man? What is that? Whoa! There's a verse at the end of Ezekiel, the last verse in the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, is talking about the city. And it's not talking about old Jerusalem.
Right.
It's talking about a certain Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
And you know, it says, it gives a name for the city. It says the name of that city from henceforth, that means forever, is Jehovah Shammah. Now you need me to tell you what that means. Everyone is saying, wow, what does that mean? Well, what it means, Jehovah Shammah, means the Lord is there.
Amen.
Consider that. It's the name of the city. A city is composed of people. When you look at this city, the only way you could describe it is, the Lord is there. I probably said this in class,
yeah.
Right? The Lord is there. You look at that. It's people, yet, what about those people? The only thing I could say is, the Lord is there.
Amen.
They have the very appearance of God.
Amen.
They look like God.
I
tell you, tonight, you look like God.
Amen.
But you know, you need to look more like God.
Amen.
And in a minute, and quickly, we'll see how God's plan, how He has planned that we would look like Him. These will be His sons, I should say, before I move on, His real sons, not adopted sons. His real sons. You know, in John chapter 1, John said, we all know this verse, for as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to be called the children of God, to those that believe into his name. And then the next verse says, who were born,
amen.
Not adopted. This is not a piece of paper we're talking about. They were born, not of this, but of God.
Amen.
These people, this group, this organism, they have been born of God.
Amen.
They have his life. And within the life, within every life, there is the nature of that life. So they have his life, they have his nature, and eventually they will have his appearance. This is what drives God.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
And this pleasure and purpose of God is intensified by having to make this, gain this group and build this organism out of sinners. Out of sinners. You know, if I were God and man fell, I would have had a new beginning. I would have given up. My Bible, if I were God, your Bible tonight would be 2 chapters long. But God knew, actually, the next point. God knew this was going to happen.
Yes.
God knew. It says in the verse, 1 Peter 1:20, that God foreknew Christ as the Lamb of God.
Amen.
That is, as his provision for our redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Not an accident that Christ was crucified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to see the divine history. You know, there are Christians today, they really feel sorry about the fact that Christ died. Pity, poor Jesus. That's their thought. Poor Jesus. Bad Romans, those bad Jews. You know, they think like it was an accident. If I would have been there, that wouldn't have happened. No, God foreknew. This is part of the glory of it all. God foreknew. It says the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. God knew. And this is the glory of God's purpose, I would say. That through the blood of the Lamb, through the forgiveness of our sins, through God's abounding grace, we could be brought back to the position where God could carry out his purpose through his plan.
Amen.
Nothing is going to stop our God.
Amen.
Not even you. Not even me. Nothing will stop our God.
Amen.
Well, I got to move quickly. How long can we go, Mark? 8 more minutes. Okay, we have to be quick here with the plan. This is the third P. We have made progress. That's a fourth P. The plan. God said, God had a thought. Then God said, I want it. Then God says, I'm going to get it. Then God said, this is how. So we have what we call his plan. His pleasure and his purpose have issued in his plan. And his plan is his arranged way. The Bible in the New Testament calls it his economy. His economy. His arrangement to carry out his pleasure and his purpose. And this plan being carried out is what we are calling the divine history. The divine history is simply the carrying out of God's plan. Amen. And dear saints here in the Northwest, we have a part. Amen. We have a part. Amen. God needs you. You know, they used to have those posters, Uncle Sam, you know, with that. Actually, Uncle Sam looked like God's concept of God. You know, with the kind of beard, I need you. That crooked finger, you know, I need you. Well, I tell you, God needs you.
Yes.
Have you ever heard that? You know, our thought is, well, you know, we need God, but, you know, God doesn't have a need. Listen, God needs you.
Amen.
For this expression, he needs a framework. He needs an outward frame. He needs you.
Amen.
And he doesn't need you as a one-shot deal that you get saved and that's it. Okay, God, you've got me. No, it doesn't end there. God needs you every day and even every moment of the day. God needs you as much as you need him. How about that? That should blow your concept about yourself. God is driven and he needs you. In his plan, he needs you. And this plan is profoundly thoughtful and consistent over the ages. That is to obtain, I'm just reading through the rest of the outline with a few comments, to obtain his enlargement and expression. Listen, here is how. Through the distributing or the dispensing of himself. How will God get this group built into an organism which will issue in a spectacle of spectacles? No other way. How will God get the Christ? How will God make you Christ? No other way but by distributing or dispensing his very self into you.
Amen.
That is God's way.
Amen.
This is not cheap.
Right.
Come on in, brothers. Come on in and get under the dispensing.
Amen.
And the distributing of God.
Amen.
Where are you all from?
Portland.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Brothers from Portland.
Amen.
He wants to distribute himself in Christ into his chosen ones, his believers. There's a marvelous verse. You could look at it later tonight or tomorrow morning where it calls us his inheritance. It uses the word inheritance.
Yes.
By his dispensing, we inherit God.
Amen.
I mean, you know, when I was at an earlier time, people were trying a lot of, you know, what are you trying? You know, they would ask, what are you on? What are you on? What are you trying? That was that day. They were trying different drugs. What do you, ooh, you know, this is great. Try this, you know. Ooh. You know, then a few years later, they were, ooh. Permanently, ooh. Or their nose was gone. You know, the cartilage inside their nose, it's ugly. What a thing to inherit. A blown mind. I tell you, God's thought is to dispense himself so that he becomes our inheritance.
Amen.
This weekend, what are we doing? We're here inheriting God.
Amen.
Oh, he is dispensing himself.
Amen.
Because he's driven by his pleasure and his purpose.
Amen.
He's distributing himself. He would like to do it all day long.
Amen.
And you know what? It is possible.
Right.
It is possible to be under that distributing and that dispensing all day long.
Amen.
Stick with us this weekend. You'll see this is possible.
Amen.
We just had a recall election in California. What a joke. But anyway, there was one good thing that was out of it. A line from a candidate. He said, he lost, by the way. But he had a great line. He was going over, he was saying, I'll do this, I'll do that, blah, 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 blah. And then he said, we can do this. We can do this, if you vote for me. We can do this. Well, I was thinking, I voted for him, by the way, but he lost. But I was thinking, forget this recall. If we cooperate with God's dispensing, you know this spectacle of spectacles we're talking about? Listen, we can do this.
Amen.
We can do this.
Amen.
God is just like, he's like a river. All the time. A mighty flowing out is God. Right? Where I'm going. See, I'm crazy. Hallelujah. But you can, as God is, you can be. Do you believe that?
Amen.
You know, the Bible says, pray without ceasing.
Amen.
What does that mean? Does that mean, please, 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 drink some water. Please, 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 eat a sandwich. Please, please, please. Is that what pray without ceasing means?
No.
I'm not going to tell you what it means, but it doesn't mean that. To pray without ceasing is to drink.
Amen.
We need to drink without ceasing because God is dispensing.
Amen.
He is distributing himself.
Amen.
Oh, I love this.
Amen.
In Christ.
Amen.
Into his chosen ones, his believers. Wow. Christ went through a process to become the sphere and element of this dispensing. You know how the Lord is. The Lord is just like the air today. He's the Spirit. And you know, the Spirit, the air, when I walked into this room and I saw that fire, But anyway, when I walked into this room, I walked into the sphere of the air in this room. And then shortly after I walked into this room, I breathed some of this air into me. This is exactly what God has done. By becoming the Spirit, God is a sphere for us. You can get into God.
Amen.
Because he's the Spirit.
Amen.
Where are you?
In God.
See, a lot of you are chicken. Let me ask you again. I'm not joking. Where are you?
In God.
Because God is the Spirit.
Right.
The Lord is the Spirit.
Amen.
You can get into God. And once you get into God, because he's the Spirit, when you breathe, that's not too good, is it? Anyway, you breathe and that air gets into you.
Amen.
You're surrounded.
Amen.
This is what God wants to do.
Amen.
Oh, he wants to dispense himself.
Amen.
So he went through a process to be the sphere and the element. Oh, this is good. So that the believers will be Christified.
Amen.
How about that? Christified.
Amen.
What are you doing here? What are we having this retreat for? You know, if those trees out there would be released, they would say, good, it's about time. It's about time some people got serious about being Christified.
Amen.
We're being Christified. That is, we are being mingled with God.
Amen.
You know, this God that gets dispensed into you is the living God.
Amen.
If once you take him in, it's not like, sometimes you eat a donut. A donut that it wasn't quite fried. And, you eat that donut and it goes down, clang. And it just sits there. And if your stomach juices could talk, they would say, hey, what did you eat that for? We're never going to get rid of this thing. I tell you, God is not like that. When he dispenses himself, the Lord said, I'm the bread of life. And then he says, I'm the living bread. That means he is food that doesn't just come in and sit there. He's the living bread. He digests himself. He mingles himself.
Amen.
He's very active. This food, oh, once you ate Jesus, you got into trouble.
Right.
You got a food in you that is the living bread. Not only is he the living bread, he's the living stone.
Yeah.
Have you ever eaten a stone? I tell you, his name is wonderful. He's the living bread. He's the living stone. As you eat him, he mingles himself with you. And eventually, you become a stone.
Amen.
Just like he is. Fit for his building.
Amen.
This is the divine history.
Amen.
Little preview here tonight. Oh, we need to be Christified.
Amen.
Mingled with God through this dispensing over time. So that eventually we will express him eternally. This whole process is a joy and an enjoyment.
Amen.
It is a joy to God.
Amen.
You realize even when the Lord went to the cross, it was a joy because God is driven. He wanted this. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You know, our concept is, and of course, the Lord was a man. He was facing death, but yet deep within him, in his spirit, there was joy. Wow, I'm going through this process. I'm going through this process so that I could get into them and mingle myself with them and make them the living stones for my building. Ah, I'll take the cross. He despised the shame. It's a joy to God.
Amen.
Does that blow your concept? And it's an enjoyment for us. We're not eating a half-baked donut here. We're eating God.
Amen.
Hallelujah, we're eating God.
Amen.
We're breathing him. We're drinking him. We're eating him.
Amen.
And once he gets into you, oh my, he is active. Well, I'm really bad with the time. See, this is very important. Stick with me. I was supposed to be tired. I got revived.
Amen.
Three crucial words that sum up all of what we've talked about in point two. That is, and make a note of this, underline it, circle it, whatever. Dispensing, mingling, and expression. When we talk about the divine history, there are these three crucial words. Dispensing, that is, get God into you. Mingling, that is, mingle himself with you. Build himself into you. Not only do you eat the living bread, but the living bread works as the living stone. To constitute you from a wishy-washy wimp into something solid and precious for God's expression.
Amen.
And then, of course, expression. That is what issues from the dispensing and the mingling. Oh, these three words are worth $1 million.
Wow.
Dispensing, mingling, and expression. We need to see everything. Creation. We'll see more of that first thing tomorrow morning. Man in general, Christians in particular, world events, and the Bible itself in terms of this. We need to learn how to evaluate everything under God's purpose and his plan.
Amen.
Even the whole Bible is concerning God's economy. Let me sum up the Bible in 30 seconds. The Old Testament is a figurative portrait of God's economy. In the Old Testament, we have a picture of Christ. A picture of Christ is what? Food. A picture of Christ is what? A stone. a picture of Christ and a picture of that group of people who God eventually intends to build up into his house.
Amen.
A picture. Then in the New Testament, we have the practical fulfillment of that picture. In the New Testament, the picture becomes real.
Amen.
Finished. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. You need to see the Bible. I'm not joking. See the Bible in terms of the divine history.
Amen.
That is, in terms of the dispensing, the mingling, and the expression.
Amen.
Then, point two. Our need, in order to see everything in these terms, our need is to be in our spirit.
Amen.
We need a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
Our deepest part, that is our spirit. In case some are new, you have a spirit. Good news, you have a spirit.
Amen.
You don't just have to be in your mood up and down, up and down, up and down. You know, mostly down, sometimes up. You know, if you can graph, if you could plot your life, it would be down, 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 up, down, 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 up. You don't have to be like that. You have a spirit.
Amen.
And when you say, Lord Jesus, for the first time, just like the Apostle Paul, he says, who are you, Lord? The Lord got in there. You have a spirit. And in that spirit, my goodness, there is life and there is light. We need a spirit of wisdom and revelation to see God's pleasure, purpose, and plan, and that we have a share in it.
Amen.
God needs you.
Amen.
Just like you need him. Finally, D, all other histories are under the divine history.
Yes.
All the histories are under this history. You have to realize. Don't be rocked by current events. You know, sometime, especially in the day and age we're living now, something happens. Whoa! If we don't see God's purpose and God's plan, we'll get rocked. You know, 9/11, people, oh, they couldn't sleep. They developed nervous problems. They, oh, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen tomorrow? I tell you, that history, quote, quote, is under the divine history.
Amen.
All of these world events, they seem so, I don't know what to call them. I tell you, they are under this.
Mm-hmm.
What is really happening is this.
Amen.
And those things are only serving this. At the bare minimum, they're clearing up the situation for the final fulfillment of God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
All histories are under the divine history, and this is the great spectacle and focal point in the universe. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah saw God sitting on a high and lofty throne. We need the eye to see. In your spirit, you can see. All of this, all the current events, all the things are going on, but above everything, there is God.
Amen.
I like it. I want it. I'm going to get it. And this is how.
Amen.
You see, God above all of that, you know, Saddam Hussein, you know, over here, and Osama bin Laden over here, and Bush over here, and the French over there, you know. Whoops. Above all of that, God, this is what I want. The Christ, the Christ, the Christ. This is what I want. I'm going to get it. This is how. Dispensing, dispensing, dispensing.
Amen.
Oh, we need to see this.
Amen.
Isaiah 55, his thoughts, his ways are higher than ours. And his word to carry all this out will never return to him void. And all the creation, those verses, read them. All the creation will rejoice at the carrying out of God's economy. There's an interesting section, I also list 2 Kings, where Elisha, the man of God, and his servant were by a battlefield. And the servant went out and he saw a big camp of the enemy. And there was a lot of people there surrounding the people of God. And they said, oh, Elisha, look. There's so many of them there. What are we going to do? We're in trouble. And then Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he could see. And so the Lord opened the eyes of the servant of Elisha, and he saw a multitude of angels. They were there. And then there was a fire, a wall of fire around all of God's people. Saints, don't be rocked by current events. Amen. There is a history. There are spectators. There are spectators watching the carrying out of this history, the real history. Don't be rocked by the current events. All of that is under the divine history. Amen. That is what is really going on. May the Lord open our eyes.
Amen.
And even the Old Testament saints, the last reference, if they could come and speak to us tonight, they would say, forget about everything except God's purpose and God's plan. Run the race of your Christian life.
Amen.
Run the race by the dispensing and the mingling for God's expression.
Amen.
This is it.
Amen.
Let's stop here. Mark, could we just have maybe some prayers?
Amen.
How about let's just have some prayers? It is good to respond. We trust that the Lord speaks, and it's good for us to respond. How about let's try to pray two by two. Pray with your neighbor.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of him. The way to get to know him is to pray with him.
Amen.
Pray with your neighbor for a couple of minutes, two by two. Respond to the Lord.